morning. Today's Daf Mechoros Chafei. We're starting today at the Mishnah Chavdal and Beis, Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam. As we already been introduced, this Mishnah is part of the third parak of Bechoros, in which, anytime you have an undisputed position, so that's going to be the halacha. We saw this in the name of Rav that was quoted earlier. We're going to see it again very briefly. Our Mishnah has a undisputed position of Rabbi Yossi ben Hamishulam, and obviously it's dealing with the topic of Bechor. And so let's start with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef ben Shulam Omer Ashochet Bechor. So you are going to be shechting the Bechor. Osam Makom Bekupitz Mikan Mikan. So what you could do is you can make a place for the Kupitz. Now Kupitz usually translates as a hatchet. The hatchet description over here is not really going to be the best way to describe it. It's really a big knife. But the idea is that you're using a really big knife and you want to make some room for the knife. In other words, there's a lot of hair on the neck and you want to make some room. So you're going to be moving it. What is the concern? What's the consideration over here? We're talking about a bechor. Bechor is also begizav avoda. You're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work it. So this is not a problem working it. You're shechting it. That's fine. But nevertheless, though, the concern is that this is something akin to giza. It's kind of like shearing, but you're not really shearing. So that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. In other words, is that you're just simply moving hair from one side to the other. Vitolish esaseyar. Now, the language of the Mishnah is vitolish esaseyar. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, vitolish esaseyar, lakan lakan lamakam chata chasakin, mishum chalada, velomini gozes hu esabachor. So, Rashi makes, in this very short Rashi, Rashi is making a couple of really important points. One is that you are moving the hair from one side to the other, and we're not calling this Giza. If we were to call this Giza, so that would be problematic because you're not allowed to be gozes. As the Bechor, Giza is one of the prohibitions of the Bechor. And Rashi also points out, why are we moving the hair? So without the Rashi, I would have just simply said, it's just a pragmatic issue. In other words, you want some room. Rashi, of course, views everything halachically. And Rashi says, halachically, the problem is chalada. We know, we go back to Chulin, we go back to the first two prakim of Chulin, so we know that there are five psulei shechita. There are five things that are going to disqualify the shechita. One of the five things is what's called chalada. Chalada is when you take the knife and you insert the knife into the neck and then you do the shechita. Or basically, otherwise stated, it's a covering of the knife. The knife has to be in a constant exposed position. And if once the knife becomes concealed at any point during the shechita, so that's the psul shechita, and that's what's called chalada. If you want to see a little bit of pushback on the Rashi, you can see Tosfos over here, who pushes back on this idea of chalada, but it's just for now, going to present it like Rashi. So the issue is chalada, which is why you want to remove the hair. Uvilvad shelo yizizena mimkomo. Going back to the Mishnah says, as long as you don't actually take the hair out. So in other words, and again, going back to Rashi over here, Vavashalo Yizizenu, Shalo Yomru Giziza Avid Bekachim. So in other words, don't make this so pronounced. Meaning everything you're doing now is perfectly allowed. So you're going to be cutting. You're going to be shechting your Bechor, and you're going to be doing so with a big knife, and you're going to be making room by just simply pulling out some of the hairs around the neck. And all this is perfectly allowed. And it's not a violation of Giza. However, at the same time, don't be so blatant about it. In other words, leave the hair there. Leave the hair there. Don't actually pull it out. So that way it does not perceive, it's not looked as if you're actually doing Giza, even though you're really not. Rashi. Shelo yomru Giza avibikashim, ela yinichena misubach imatzemer, mikanu mikan. Just leave it tucked away with the rest of the, now I'm going to say it's the wool, it could be the goat hair, right? In other words, we're not really that particularly specific in terms of which animal we're shechting. V'chein, tolish esaseir leros makamum. And the Mishnah says on top of that, you're also allowed to do the following. What you're allowed to do is you're allowed to pluck out hairs of the animal in the event that there's a mum to look at and you need a better vantage point of the mum. So as we know, in terms of a bechor, so what we are looking forward to is for it to be blemished, especially without a base of mikdash, so that you can eat it. The bechor you're allowed to is nechal b'mumo. You eat it once it's blemished animal. And so let's say there is a blemish, but right now we don't have a good vantage point, and we just need to see a better shot of it. So what you're allowed to do, says the Mishnah, is you're allowed to pull out the hair in order to get a better vantage point of it. Isn't this a violation of Giza? And again, the Mishnah is telling us it's not a violation of Giza. Okay. What the Mishnah has certainly told us now repeatedly, two times over, is that by plucking out some hairs here and there is not a violation of Giza. What the Mishnah has not really done is explain, well, why not? Meaning, why isn't it Giza? So there could be a couple of suggestions. So let's start with the Gemara. Because really with the Gemara, we're going to get a better understanding of why it's not Gizah. Meaning we know it's not a violation. That part's clear. But why is it not a violation? So let's see the Gemara.
Isn't Gizah really, you want to use a wool? Well, the Gemara
is going to discuss. All right, so Amar Rav, halacha ki Rav Yosi ben Meshulam. So Rav makes the statement that the halacha falls like Rav Yosi ben Meshulam. Now this is a familiar statement to Rav because we saw the statement to Rav yesterday in yesterday's daf. Rav also said that that every undisputed Mishnah in our perek is the halacha is going to follow like that undisputed Mishnah. And yesterday, if I could just remind you, yesterday the Gemara asked the question, why do I need both statements of Rav? If I have already the larger statement, so then why do I need this particular specific statement? See yesterday's daf for that question and that answer. But anyway, so the Gemara quotes that the halacha follows like our Mishnah, like Rav Yosi ben Meshulam. Now, Bami name Rav Huna, kenegda b'yantav mahu. Ah. And so now the Gemara says, okay, good. So now that we have an established halacha of our Mishnah, so now it's a question of application. Can we do this on Yantav? In other words, and when I say, can we do this on Yantav? Meaning, can we pluck out the hairs on Yantav? We're not on Yantav, we're not talking about a bechor, we're just talking about stam, an animal. And we know that on Yantav, so all the malachas are also on Yantav, with exception to ochel nefesh. On Yantav, what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to violate malachas on Yantav for the purposes of ochel nefesh. Now, that's extraordinarily limited in terms of what you can do, in terms of which malachas you're allowed to do. See, the beginning of Masechet Beitzah for a description and discussion of what exactly you can do. But in the meantime, however, on Yantav, you are allowed to do a limited number of malachas, including one of them being Shechita. You're allowed to Shecht on Yantav. Minig nowadays is not to Shecht on Yantav. I mean, the Minig nowadays is not to Shecht at all privately. We rely the big schlock houses to do that. But the Minig is not nowadays not to Shecht on Yantav. But nevertheless, so Shechita is one of the malachas that one's allowed to do on Yantav. Fine, so you're allowed to Shecht on Yantav. So now you're about to shecht an animal, but you'd like a little more room. Or if you want to say like Rashi, I don't want to violate chalada. So am I allowed to pluck out the hairs on Yantav? And it's a great question. Meaning, on one hand, it's not one of the malachas that becomes mutter on Yantav for ochel nefesh purposes. Now, it's true, you can view it as machshire, like meaning, right, so in other words, don't I need it as a preparatory stage in order to do the malacha that I'm allowed to do? And that's what's called machshire ochel nefesh. And as we all know, machshire ochel nefesh is subject to a machlokas. Whether machshire ochel nefesh is mutter or asr, we obviously we take the position that machshire ochel nefesh is not permitted on Yantav. So you can't do a preparatory stage that could have been done before Yantav. So now, let's reset the question. So can I pluck the hair on Yontiv of an animal that we're going to shecht? So that's the question on the table. Let's cover a little bit of Gemara first. Mishum de kasever, my time of the Rabbi Yosi ben Meshulam. And really what this cuts into is the heart of the allowance of Rabbi Yosi ben Meshulam when it comes to the Bechor. We know that Rabbi Yosi ben Meshulam allows for the plucking of the hairs of the Bechor. The question is, why does he allow it? So the Gemara now is going to offer for us two possible explanations. One, Mishum Dekasava Tolishlav Hainu Gozeis. So it could very well be a definitional issue that there are two different things. There's what's called Tolish and there's what's called Gozeis. When it comes to the Bechor, the Torah is very clear about what you're not allowed to do. The Torah says Lo Sigos. You're not allowed to do Giza. But Tolish is something totally different. Now, I know it only begs the question, what's the difference between Tolish and Giza? So, at this point in time, I'll say, and Rashi later on is going to be pretty clear about it as well, that when we're talking about Giza, we're talking about shearing with an instrument, a knife. When we're talking about Tolish, we're talking about plucking out the hairs with your hands. At this point in time, let's assume that is your basic difference between the two. And so, on one hand, one way to look at it is that Tolish and Giza are two different definitional points, and that means to say that the reason why Tolish is okay for Bechor is because it's not Giza. Okay, good. Good but not good. Give me a second. So good but not good. Why? Because that is not going to translate over to Yantav. Over Yantav Aser. Why? Why would it be Aser on Yantav? Because on Yantav, Giza is not the only thing to take into consideration. On Yantav, there are a whole slew of malachas that one is not allowed to do on Yantav, including taking something from where it's grown, right? That is we'll file that under kotzer, meaning that when you take something from the place in which it grows, so that's a malacha as well. So if the reason behind Rabbi Yosi ben Meshulam is because Giza and Tolish are two separate entities, and by the Bechor, Giza is prohibited, but Tolish is not prohibited, that's fine, but that doesn't translate over to Yantif, because on Yantif you have other malachas and other considerations. That's one possibility. But the other possibility, which the Gemara now goes over, Dilma, the Alma Sever of Yosef and Mishlum Tolish and Gozes. Or maybe no. Maybe Tolish and Gozes are really interchangeable, and they're really one and the same. And the and so the truth of the matter is that if I'm doing Tolish, I might as well do Giza. Well, that can't be. Meaning we're talking about a Bechor. You can't do Giza by the Bechor. So over here, the reason why it's okay for the Bechor is because this is not your intention. Meaning your intention right now is that I'm not ready. I'm not interested in shearing the sheep. What I really want is a means in which I'm going to be shechting it. And so I just have to move the hair to the side. And in the process of moving some of the hair to the side, so some of it becomes detached, that's fine. That's not my primary goal. My primary goal is to shecht it and to just simply make room. And then, incidentally, some of the hair comes out. That's called an halacha, a davar she'eino miskaven. And so that would be the allowance on the bechor. Okay, good. Just like we have a principle of davar she'eino miskaven when it comes to all Yisurim in the Torah, we, of course, have the idea of Davashim Mizkavin as it relates to Shabbos and Yantav as well. And just like Davashim Mizkavin creates an allowance for the Bechor, so it's going to create an allowance for the for Yantav as well. Uvi Yantav Davashim Mizkavin Mutter. So on Yantav, Davashim Mizkavin is going to be Mutter. So what we have in front of us is really it's fantastic Lamdish Gemara in terms of we have a halacha here by Bechor, and that you're allowed to pluck out the hairs in order to shecht your bechor. And now the question is that can I take this halacha and can I bring it now over into the world of Yantav? And so it really is fundamentally rooted in what is the heter when it comes to the bechor. If the heter is that Giza and Talisha are two separate entities, and Tolish is not Giza, that's great. But that's only great for bechor. That doesn't translate over to Yantav. Because on Yantav, Giza is Asar on Yantav, and so is Tolish. Because Tolish falls into the category of Oker Davar Migidulo. If, however, the heter of Rabbi Yosef ben Meshulam is predicated on Davar She'eino Miskaven, great. Davar She'eino Miskaven is a concept when it comes to Shar Yisurim B'Torah, like the Isur of Giza by Bechor. It's also a concept as it relates to Yantav. Okay, yes.
What kind of malacha is Tolish?
What malacha is it? So the Gemara, you can either put a file under Giza. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Oker Davar Migidulo, which falls under the category of Kotzer. Just like you're not allowed to pull a fruit off a tree, and you're not allowed to take a wheat out of the ground, so you're not allowed to take a hair growing out of a human body. That's Oker Davar Migidulo.
Could this not be called
Sigurat? We're going to get there. The Gemara is fully aware of the concept of Psik Resha. We will get there.
In here, it says, the Rambam said, but after you shech it, you got to pluck the bird. You're not going to eat it with the feathers or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So does that malucha only apply when it's alive?
Correct. In other words, right. In other words, once it's shechted, by a bird, you're going to want to pluck it, but that's part of the ochel. That's part of the achila process.
So
but prior to the shechita, however, in other words, we're too far away, right? The Tosfos and Gimel and Beitza, you know, the idea is that if you're so far away from the actual achila, so that's just, it's not something which is going to be mutter. And yeah, in other words, right, the preparation you do after you shecht it is much closer to achila than what we're talking about over here. You haven't even shecht it yet. Okay. Amar lahu zilushal Rav Chanan amar halachi Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. Okay, so now in terms of a straightforward answer, so he doesn't give like such a straightforward answer. He says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ask Rav Chananel if in fact the halach is like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, which is not really the issue over here, because, well, and first of all, we already know the halach of us like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, but we know that in hindsight. But over here, the question was posed from Rav Huna. And so Rav Huna just wanted to validate that the halacha does in fact fall like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. So if shalachu, I see shaylu. So he went to ask Amar lahu, achi Amar Rav halacha ke Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. And so they asked him. He must have obviously also been a student of Rav. And he says the halacha falls like Rav Yosef ben Meshulam. Also coming to Rav Huna, Amar lahu, connected with Yom Tov Mutter. And so it really was not clear what exactly that step was, because, in other words, either they're connected or they're not connected, but whatever the case is. The halacha doesn't fall like Rav Yosef ben Mishlam, as we already know that Rav said that, but now Rav Huna got it validated, and once he heard it, so Rav Huna says, okay, good. And now, you're allowed to tolesh the Bechor, you're also allowed to do Talisha on Yantav as well. Which now means, in other words, so what must be the guiding principle in terms of the heter of Talisha? So it has to be that the guiding principle right now is Davar Shena Miskavim. Right? That has to be, because the Gemara just set it up that way. That the if we're going to transfer over the heter from the Bechor over to Yantav, it must be because it files under Davar Shena Miskavim. That sounds like what the heter is predicated on. The Gemara said that. Okay, right for now, that'll have to work. And so the Gemara also quotes B'Shem, other Amorim B'Shem Rav, that not only is this act of Talisha going to be allowed on a Bechor, it's also going to be allowed on Yantav as well. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Because what we have now done is presented a heter here in Bechoros regarding the plucking of a hair prior to the Shechitas HaBechor. And now we've taken that heter and we moved it over to Yantav, and that now means that the guiding principle is Davar Shena Miskavim. That's what it sounds like. And all this is said over B'Shem Rav. Many times now in this daf, we've said it over B'Shem Rav. Good. All this is not going to work out because we happen to know what is Rav's own opinion regarding Davar Shena Miskavim. And as the Gemara is going to point out, the Gemara does this in a number of places, is that Rav subscribes to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the Davar Shena Miskavim is Asur. And once I present all that in front of you, now you now realize we're just going to basically run right into a brick wall. Meaning because it's not, none of this is going to work. And the Gemara is now going to point all that out. So, number one, you're not allowed to take a rag and use it as part of your stopper of your barrel. Right? So you have your barrel in your house, it's got whatever it's got in it, beer or wine. And you are going to want to unplug it and replug it. So back in the day, so I don't know how popular cork was back in the day. In other words, cork works out great because it's something that really stuffs the hole and doesn't allow for anything to spill. But back in the day, so what did they use in order to get that real, to get the plug to really go in there? So they took a shmata. They took a rag. They wrapped the rag around. And they basically put it into the hole, and then they plugged the hole with whatever they plugged it with. In other words, the rag is like kind of like a washer, if you will, and really seals in the plug. Now, can I open it on Yantav? Sounds like the answer is yes. Can I replug it on Yantav? So Rav says you cannot. You can't replug it on Yantav. Now, why not? So the Gemara doesn't say here. So if you take a look at Rashi, the Gemara doesn't say. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, the first Rashi just simply describes the plug. The second Rashi, also lahaduka, the besoch hachavis bekoch mishum schita. The alphagav, the enem miskavin lashum schita, aser, afila Rabbi Shimon, the amra mesech shabbos, davashena miskavin mutter. So, the Rashi over here puts it under the category of schita. What you're doing is you're squeezing the liquid out of the rag. Now, there is an extensive discussion in Tosos, not Tosos here. In fact, Tosos over here says, you know what? I already discussed this extensively. I'm not going to do so again right now. But you remember the beginning of Masechet Ksuvos, Daf Vav. Tosfos quotes it over here. Tosfos says, you want to see a lengthy discussion on this topic, so see the Gemara in Ksuvos. And I'm going to recommend the same thing for this morning. If you want extensive discussion on this, see the Gemara in Ksuvos. It's a lengthy discussion of a number of factors. Number one, Schita is going to be an Isser on Shabbos because of what exactly? Meaning Schita files under which malacha, which of the 39 malachos? So, good. So, Tosfos entertains the idea that it's Libun. The problem with Libun is that Libun is laundering. We're talking here about either beer or wine. Neither of those are really laundering liquids. Laundering liquid is something called water. So, anyway, see Tosfos over there for a lengthy discussion about how we understand the malacha. There's also a long piece in that Tosfos regarding a psik resha de lo nichalei, that's the sheet of the Aruch over there in that Tosfos. All that is found Tosfos. For our purposes right now, let's just make this discussion really streamlined. And the Gemara over here says that you know that it is going to be agreed to that you cannot do this on Yantav. So So the Gemara says, okay, that's great. Meaning, I know that you're not allowed to do that on Yantav, but don't let that affect our discussion. That's not just a Davar Shena Miskavim, that's a Davar Shena Miskavim with a Psik Resha. when you take the rag and you stuff it into the hole, so you know for sure that there's going to be liquid that's going to be squeezed out of the rag, and so there, it's a psik reisha. So of course they agree, but they always agree when it comes to psik reisha. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Leave that out of the discussion. The Gemara brought it in because for a moment the Gemara thought it really is going to play into our discussion. It's not. So the Gemara says, Vaha'am. Okay, good. Vahamar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav Halachik Rav Yehuda. Rav Chanan Barami Amar Shmuel Halachik Rav Shimon. So we have now various Amoraim quoting Rav and Shmuel. Rav goes like Rav Yehuda. Shmuel goes like Rav Shimon. Rav Chiya Bar Avin Masni Below Gavre. Now when Rav Chiya says over the same thing, he says it over and he doesn't even quote any other Amoraim. He says it beferish. Rav Amar Halachik Rav Yehuda. Ushmuel Amar Halachik Rav Shimon. So what we have is a clear misora that Rav passes like Rav Yehuda that the davar sheinu miskaven is aser, and Shmuel passes like Rabbi Shimon that the davar sheinu miskaven is mutter. Okay, and now with that stated, so now we obviously have a problem because the Gemara now said that Rav allows for the talisha seyar before you shech the animal on yantiv. How could he allow it? Meaning, if we understand that it's a function that Tolish and Giza are not the same, okay, that they're not the same, but on Yantav, both activities are going to be prohibited. Giza is one malacha, and Tolish is Oker Davar Migidulo, which is another malacha. And if we're filing it under, well, okay, fine, but it's a Davar Sheinu Miskaven, and that's why it's going to be Motar on Yantav, it happens to be that Rav subscribes to the opinion of Rav Yehuda that Davar Sheinu Miskaven is Aser. So we're basically now going to go back right to the beginning. How can Rav give an allowance of plucking out the hair on the animal on Yontiv in order to shecht? So the Gemara says, fine. So you're right. So Rav does in fact hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That's a given. V'tolish lav hainu gozes. And Talisha and gozes are not the same thing. So uvi Yontiv hainu tanu desharu dehavalei okar davar migidulo kala achriyad. So the Gemara says, now on Yontiv, so the reason why it would be allowed is because, yes, you're Oker Davar Migidulo, but you're doing so Kala Achriyad, you're doing so with a Shinui. Okay? Now you're doing so with a Shinui. Now what exactly, what does that mean you're doing so with a Shinui? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, V'tolosh Lav Hainu Gozeis, sorry, next Rashi. Kala Achriyad, De'ein Derech Litlo Shemer Ela Ligzos. Because when we're talking about Semer, we're talking about wool. What is the normal practice in terms of the removal of wool from an animal? So it's a, right, shears, right? These big scissors, right? I've seen it. So that is the normal way in doing so. So when you're doing it with your hand, so that is what's called an halacha, a shinui. And so by doing it with a shinui, it's no longer an issur d'oraisa, now it only is an issur d'rabbanan. Now it only begs the question, since the it's still asur midrabbanan, meaning doing a malacha on yantav or on Shabbos with a shinui is still going to be a violation midrabbanan. So if you look carefully at the Gemara, so the Gemara says hainatam deshar davle oker dav migidulo kala achriyad. So the Gemara doesn't really explain why it is that it would be okay even with a shinui. What you have to say is that in addition to it being a shinui, there's another counter consideration as well, and that of course is Simchas Yontov, meaning that there is of course a mitzvah of Simchas Yontov, right? Simchas Yontov may in fact be connected to the entire heter of Ochel Nefesh, and so for Simchas Yontov, so the allowance now to do an Issur D'Rabbanan of Tolish Kala Achriyad, or let's call it Oker Davar Migidulo Kala Achriyad, so since you're doing it in an unusual manner, so therefore it is not going to be prohibited because of the counter consideration of Simchas Yontov. Yeah, you have to say something along those lines.
But we said just before that plucking is not the same as shearing.
Right.
How can you say it's Kala Achriyad? It's plucking, it's not shearing.
Right, correct. The discussion actually gets even a little bit more complicated because really what you can also, the argument you could also make is that it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, which Tosfos touches on. Meaning normally what happens when you're plucking something out is because you want the item you're plucking. Here, you're plucking the item out because you just simply want room on the neck for shechita. Good. So really, it may also fit into or play into the discussion Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, but Tosos, if you see the second Tosos, he does bring up that topic. It's right. It's another consideration in this. Anyway, what happened is as follows. Basically, over the course of this discussion now, it took a lot of twists. It's a short piece of Gemara that took a lot of turns. It starts off with, just quick summary, it starts off with the Heter of Rav Yossi ben HaMeshulam that on a Bechor, even though there's an Isser of Giza by the Bechor, so what you could do is you could take the knife and you could just basically move the hairs in two different directions to make room for the knife. And Rashi in the Mishnah says, because you don't want to violate the Isser of Chalada when you're shechting. Fine. On that, even though some hairs are going to be removed, it's fine. It's fine. And on that, the Gemara's discussion is, okay, now that it's a given that it's fine, why is it fine? Is it because Giza and Tolesh are two separate actions, and they're two separate activities, and so therefore the Isser by the Bechor is only Giza, and it's not Tolesh, and you're doing Tolesh? So that would be good. However, then there wouldn't be no transference of the Heter over to Yantav. Why? No transfers over to Yantav because in Yantav both activities are prohibited. Giza and Tolesh are both prohibited on Yantav. Or perhaps the other possibility, says the Gemara, is that it has to do with Davashina Miskavin. You weren't intent on removing the hair, you're just moving it to the side, and it happened to have detached. The Gemara's assumption seems to be, Ben, that this is not a psik resha. Meaning, and it's clear that from the whole discussion of the Gemara that's not psik resha, because the Gemara brought up the case of the plugger, and the Gemara says, leave that out of the discussion, because that is a psik resha. Sounds like our discussion over here, the Gemara's assuming it's not a psik resha. Fine. The Gemara... Wait, I'm sorry. Give me one more second. So the Gemara says, so it's a Davashen HaMiskavin. So Davashen HaMiskavin, which is Mutter by Ashari Surim, i.e. Giza by Bechor, it's also going to be Mutter on Yantav as well. But then the Gemara points out, all this is not going to work within Rav. And again, all this discussion was under the Psak of Rav. It's not going to work within Rav because Rav is of the opinion that a Davashen HaMiskavin is Asur, meaning he subscribes to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So what the Gemara has to now do is go back to our original presentation that Giza and Talisha are two different activities, and it's not really predicated on Davashen and Miskavin. And as far as he does allow this to be done on Yantav, but you have to give other explanations. And so what the Gemara does at the end of the discussion is say, okay, fine, we'll give another explanation. It is done with a Shinui, and the Gemara doesn't say this, but we're going to add that only brings it down to an Issa de Rabbanan, plus also you'll have Simchas Yantav. So therefore, there is an allowance to do this on Yantav. Yes. Okay, fine. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara continues, V'tolesh l'avhainu gozes v'atanya. The Gemara says, now, tolesh and gozes are not one and the same. The Gemara says, atolesh, as the Gemara quotes the Braisa, atolesh is a kanaf v'akomto v'amorto. So let's say you do the following. Let's say you pluck a feather out of a bird. And not only that, but you clip the end of the feather. And not only that, but you remove some of the pointy edges of the feather. So chayiv chayshal shchatos. So on doing that on Shabbos or on Yantiv is subject to go to three chatos. Well, let's talk about Shabbos because we're talking about the chatos. So if you do that on Shabbos, you're going to be subject to three chatos. Va'amar Yishlakish Tolesh chayiv mishum gozes. And he says, and now let's go and hit all three. So number one, when you pluck it out, you're going to be in violation of gozes. Now you plucked it out, and meanwhile, what do we say? We're calling it gozes. Clearly, the author of this brisa is of the opinion that Giza and Tolesh are Hainu Hach. It's one of the same thing. Anyway, but just finishing up, Kotim Chayv Mishum Chatech. Yeah, when it comes to the cutting of it, so that's Chituch, Chituch, anything you cut something to size, that's the Malacha of Mechatech. Right? We have it principally by the leather and the leather hide, where you're cutting the leather hide to size. But over here also, anything you're cutting something to size. Memare Chayv Mishum Memachek. And as far as getting the pointy edges of the feather off, so you're smoothing down the edges, and that's a malacha mamachik. Okay, so over here, the Gemara is thoroughly confused. You're telling me that Giza and Tolesh are two separate activities. Here, the Braisa clearly, squarely puts them in the same camp, in the same category. Shani kanaf dahainu orche. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to have to do is make a distinction between the plucking of a feather of a bird versus the plucking of a hair of an animal. Plucking of a feather of a bird, that's the way it is removed. It is removed through plucking. So therefore, when it comes to the feather removal, Giza and Tolesh are one and the same thing because it's the Orche, that's the way it's normally done. Mashenke, when it comes to an animal and the removing of either wool or the hairs, so it's normally done with an instrument. Instrument is, and shearing is how it's normally done, and Tolish is not how it's normally done, and therefore it falls under two different categories. Now the Gemara opens up the next discussion with an assumption. It is an assumption, and the Gemara later on will basically say the assumption doesn't have to be right. But right now the Gemara is assuming that that since Rav is holding like Rav Yossi ben Meshulam, so that means conversely Rav Yossi ben Meshulam has to be holding like Rav. So v'savar Rav Yossi ben Meshulam davar shenem miskaven asur, and that means that we're going to have Rav Yossi ben Meshulam holding the davar shenem miskaven asur just like Rav holds that way. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. V'hatanya, the Gemara considers now the following, a tosefta regarding the paraduma. I have two hairs of the paraduma. Now we all know, right? How much information do we know about the paraduma? I'll speak for myself. Not a tremendous amount, but two black hairs, right? That's something that I think we've seen time and again throughout Shas. So two black hairs is going to be a posel. These two black hairs happen to be strange in that ikaran ma'adim v'roshom mashchir. Their roots are red and the tips of the hairs are black. So what we want to do right now is just a very short haircut of the paraduma, and now just to remove the black tips of these hairs. Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam Amar goes has been misparim ve'en choshesh. Now Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam says, so that's fine. So just the shortest haircut and probably the most, I was going to say expensive haircut. It's not expensive, but creating tremendous value. Because now what you're doing now with this one clip is that you are now making an animal which previously was pasul as the paraduma, now going to be kasher for the paraduma. Now, what you're also doing is you are doing giza on the paraduma. Now, you're not allowed to do giza on the paraduma, at least that's the Gemara's assumption right now. You're not allowed to do giza on the paraduma. And Rav Yossi ben Meshulam says, yeah, but over here it's okay because you're not interested in the hair. In other words, what your interest is just simply take off the black tips. So this is a davar she'eino miskaven. And so what the Gemara now is wondering is, well, wait one second. Doesn't Rav Yossi ben Meshulam subscribe to Rav? And if Rav holds davar she'eino miskaven as asur, well, Rav Yossi ben Meshulam also should hold like that as well. Now, again, the whole question is built. Right. Okay, good. So the entire question, first of all, is built on an assumption, which the Gemara in a moment is going to challenge. And on top of that, right, this is really going to be a case of davar she'eino miskaven. Right now, the Gemara is proposing that as a possibility. It is, what do you want to file it under? It's true, but you're doing the act of Giza. I mean, the act is being accomplished. Okay.
All you want is get back to the
two. Okay, fine. So Shani Paradala Bazgizahi. So right now, the truth of the matter is what we are going to gain from all this is a couple of basic ideas, which, you know, it's in of itself are good to know. But first, okay, so first the Gemara suggests, well, maybe there's no Isser of Giza as it relates to an animal. Maybe the Giza is only by sheep, where there's wool. But over here, we're talking about the hair of a cow. In other words, that's not Giza. The Gemara says it is. Now, if you read the Pesukim in Parshas Re'eh, the sense that you get is, you know what, the large animals that are karbanos, you're not allowed to work them. And you know the smaller animals that produce wool, you're not allowed to shear them. Okay, good. So maybe the working of the sheep and the shearing of the cow would be okay. But clearly we're going to learn that that's not so. How do I know that these two Yisurim apply in both types of animals, large and small? So they have the Vav. The Vav is a chibur, it's a connection, telling us that the Isur of Giza and Avoda apply to both animals. And so therefore, don't tell me that just because it's a large cow with, you know, with the short hairs, that there's no Isser of Giza. There is an Isser of Giza. Okay, so now that there's an Isser of Giza by a large animal, so now what are you going to say? So the Gemara says, okay, so our next step along the way is, well, the paraduma is not a real carbon. It doesn't have Kedusha Seguv. It's Kashe Bedek Abayis. And we know it's not a carbon. It's shechted outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a carbon. So what is it if it's not a carbon? So it has Kedusha Bedek Abayis. And so what the Gemara now is entertaining is, well, maybe there's no Isser Giza when it comes to Kedushas Bedek Abayis. The Gemara says, I will dismiss that as well. So you're not allowed to do gizah v'avoda when it comes to kasher bedek habayis. The Gemara says mid rabbanan. So the Gemara says that's not an issur d'oraisa, that's an issur d'rabbanan. Meaning consider that the issur of gizah v'avoda as recorded in the Torah, as we just went through the psukim, is talking about karbanos. This is not a karban. This is kasher bedek habayis. So va'ika issur d'rabbanan. Okay, the Gemara says fine. It's only an issur d'rabbanan. That's called an issur. An issur d'rabbanan is called an issur. So shani par de lo shchicha. The Gemara says okay, but once it's an issur d'rabbanan, so there is flexibility with an issur d'rabbanan. Notably, by the paraduma, there's going to be flexibility. Why? It's the davar shel shchiach. How many paradumas were there historically? So right, huh? I know. I also get confused with the number. Right? Is it 9? 10? Okay, maybe the 10th is. Anyway, there are the presentation of a paraduma is a rare event. And the value of a paraduma, let's also remind each other, right? It costs a tremendous amount of money. Remember the Gemara Kedushin with Dama ben Nisina, who had a paraduma born in his flock. So anyway, so over here, being that Giza of Kasher Bedek HaBayis is an issur d'rabbanan, but for something like the paraduma, the Chachamim said, we're going to provide an allowance for Giza. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. The Gemara says, I don't understand. We're talking about Kasher Bedek HaBayis. The Kedusha of Kasher Bedek HaBayis, of course, is transferable. So why don't we do the following? We have two hairs. They got red roots, black tips. We want to give it a haircut. We don't want to violate any Yisurim. So why don't we do the following? Why don't we redeem the Kedusha onto money, give it the quick haircut, and then put the Kedusha right back on it. So Damia Yikaran, so the Gemara says that is an expensive haircut. An unbelievably expensive haircut. So the Gemara says, what about the ruling of Shmuel, which is that when I'm poda hektesh, it does not have to be a dollar for dollar ratio when I do pigeon. When you do pigeon, it could be pennies on the dollar. It could be any nominal amount that could create a chiluk, could create a removal of the Kedusha from Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis. So the Gemara says that's true, but Amadam Shmuel Shechilalo Lechatchila Miamar. That's true that Shmuel says it, but Shmuel says it only b'di'evit, not Lechatchila. So all this now gets us to the following dilemma. So therefore, we have now our paraduma. We want to give it just a short haircut, and it's a violation of Giza. And Rav Yossi ben Meshulam says it's okay. You're allowed to do so. Now you're allowed to do so. Why? So right now the Gemara is assuming that because it's a davar shenu miskaven. And although we tried to give a number of different answers to the question, ultimately it's an isser and it's allowed. And the Gemara's assumption is it's allowed because it's davar shenu miskaven. The problem with all this is that we assumed that Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam goes like Rav. Rav holds davar shenu miskaven as asser, and doesn't Rabbi Yossi ben Meshulam also hold that way? So the Gemara now finally says, the assumption to begin with was not necessarily a correct assumption. Ema Rav Savalaka Rav Yosef ben Meshulam, but Rav Yosef ben Meshulam Lo Savalaka Rav. Good. Okay, so a davar shenu miskaven according to Rav Yosef ben Meshulam would be mutter, and therefore it would be okay over here. Continuing. Tolish es aser vavashala izizenimim kama amir Rav Ashi amir Ishlakish lo shenu ala biyad. Ava bekli aser. When we're talking about the moving of the hair, so make sure that you're moving the hair using your hand but not using a kli. Now, the doesn't sound that way when we read the Mishnah. When you go back to the Mishnah, you read the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to do this right now. V'haktani osem makom bikupitz mikano mikan. How are you moving the hair? It just a simple reading of the Mishnah seems to indicate that what you're doing is with the blade, you're just going to simply scrape the hair in both directions. And that's how you're removing the hair. So tani likupitz. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the prefix, and either we're going to change it or we're going to reinterpret it, not with a base, but with a lamed, for the knife. So we are moving the hairs, and how are we going to be moving the hairs? We're going to be doing so with our hands. In other words, we're going to be pushing the hairs to the side. Some hairs are going to come off. That's exactly the whole point of today's discussion. And that's fine. And you're doing it for the knife. But in other words, but the actual moving of the hair is to be done with your hands. V'chein tolsha seser leros mum. Okay. Not only are you allowed to move the hair to the side, push the hair to the side of the animal in order so to make room for the shechita, but let's say you want a better vantage point of a blemish, it looks like a blemish, but I can't see it that well, and I want a better vantage point, so you can push the hair to the side as well. Now, ibailu lechatchila odi'evin. Now, this allowance, the second allowance of the Mishnah, is that a din lechatchila or is that a din b'dievin? So, Amar Rebbe Yirmiyah Tashmat Semra Mesubach Ba'ozen. If I have hair Mesubach is not cluttered, all right? Twisted. Okay, yeah. It got tangled, even the better word. Okay, so Semra Mesubach Ba'ozen, if the hair got tangled in the ear, Rebbe Yosef Ben Shalom Amar Tosho Umares Mumo. So he allows for the removal of the hair so you get a better vantage point of the mum. So shmamina lechatchila shmamina. So in other words, it's the clear over here that it's not just okay, but rather lechatchila one is allowed to do so. Amar of Mari afanam namitanina. We learned this as well. V'chena tosha sasir leros makom mum. Now, if you look carefully at the wording of the Mishnah, you get the sense from the Mishnah that's lechatchila. How do I see that? Because what the Mishnah did is a transition from point A to point B. Point A in the Mishnah was you're allowed to move the hair in order to facilitate the shechita. V'chein, and similarly, you're allowed to move the hair in order to gain a better vantage point for the witnessing of a blemish. My v'chein. Now, that v'chein was going on which point? So, is it that the v'chein, the transition, was to tell me that after having moved the hair, so don't take the hair and move it somewhere else, leave it here, locally. And then at a later point, you can move it. So hashto mashochet deshchitas muchala loizenu liros makom momi baye. Look, by shchita, where you're moving the hair clearly for the purpose of shchita, you have a big knife, you're about to shecht. Everybody knows that you're not really interested in plucking the hair. If in the first half of the Mishnah tells us loizenu mimkamo, but don't take the hair with you right now, leave it there. So of course, if all we're doing right now is just looking at a blemish, so I can easily gather by myself that we should leave the hair there. Obviously, elalava tolish. So when the Mishnah is saying the words v'chein, it's going on this idea of tlisha. Even though the moving and the pushing aside of the hair is going to cause some of it to detach, but nevertheless, shmamina lechatchila shmamina. You're allowed to do that lechatchila, not only for the act of shechita, but you're allowed to do that also for the witnessing of a blemish. Let's start the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah now is going to take us to another halacha, but this one is a disputed Mishnah, and that's the following. Ser Bechor Balmum, Shenishar. So let's say I have the hair of the Bechor of a Balmum. Now, Bechor Balmum, meaning that it's a Bechor that got a blemish on it, and so that means then that we have an allowance now that we're allowed to shecht and we're allowed to eat it. Okay, now if it's a Vadai Bechor, so that means that it was given over to the Kohen's going to eat it. If it's a Safik, it means we get to retain it for ourselves and we get to eat it, but for our purposes right now, the point is that after you shecht it, so now it's mutter. And when I say after you shecht it, it's mutter, not only is the consumption of the meat of the animal going to be mutter, but all parts of the animal are going to be mutter as well, including the hair. Meaning after you shecht it, it's going to be mutter. Now, prior to the shechita, so we know there's an isser of giza, there's an isser of voda, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to work it. But after you shecht it, so now all isurim are lifted, and you are allowed. What our mission now is discussing is the following. Let's say some of the wool falls off of the sheep of our Bechor Balmum prior to my shechting it. Can I basically do the following? Can I just simply put it aside, and then when we shecht it, now everything's going to be mutter, including the hair that detached beforehand as well. Is that going to be okay? And that's what our mission is going to be discussing. Ser Bechor Balmum shenishar v'inichu b'chalon. So yeah, the hair of the Bechor Balmum that fell off prior to the Shechita, and what you did is you stuck it away, Bechalon, you put it in the window. Okay? People walk by. That's a tuft of wool in the window. Yep. Saving it for a rainy day. Actually saving it for after Shechita. V'achar kach shachta. And afterwards you shechted the animal. Akavi b'mahala matir. So Akavi b'mahala says congratulations. Not only now do you have allowance to eat the entire animal, but on top of that, you're also allowed, you can help yourself to the wool on the windowsill. I, prior to the shechita, was aser. So, okay, fine, it was aser. But now it would be okay. V'chachamim osim. And the chachamim say, no, that wool that detached beforehand is going to be aser. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Now, we are going to have our double-layered machlokus, meaning it's a machlokus between Akavi ben Mahalalel and the chachamim, whether it's allowed or not allowed, and a machlokus of later Tanayim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Later Tanayim are going to be debating what exactly were the parameters of the machlokus between the earlier Tanayim of Akavi ben Mahalalel and the Chachamim. Let's right now focus on our first version, and that's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that the Chachamim don't allow it. Why not? Meaning, what's the problem over here? So you take a look at the top Rashi on the Amud Beis. V'chachamim osrim, di'ishar etzemer hanu sharas mechayim aser l'shui lebechor, kidei shetash etzemer kol shah. So what's going to happen? Let's say there is an allowance over here. Any wool that comes off of the animal, so we're going to be able to keep for ourselves. Oh, really? So basically, as the animal shedding, so right now I can't make usage of it, but later I'm allowed to, after I shecht it, you know what? Let's postpone shechita. Right, we were planning on shechting today, but I see some more wool is coming off. So let's just, and there's more wool growing, and there's more wool coming off. So we're not going to shear the animal. You know, we know we're not allowed to shear it. But let's just hang on to it for, like, let's say another year. And just let it shed all that wool. And then eventually we're going to shecht it. And once you engage in that kind of thought process when it comes to the bechor, what's going to happen is that somebody's going to one day wake up, shecht it, having forgotten it was a bechor. And so therefore, asur lidei takala. And that's exactly the language of Rashi. Asur lidei takala, sheyigzos v'yavod bo upsula mikdashim asir begizav avoda. And right, the way I said it is that if somebody's going to shecht it, having forgotten that it was a bechor, right? Rashi, right? Correction. Rashi says what's going to happen is that, look, we've been basically looking to shed it, have it shed naturally. You know what? Let's just speed up the whole process. We'll shear it ourselves, or we'll work it ourselves. So in other words, the more it lingers, the more time people are going to perhaps stumble on the either Isser of Giza or the Isser of Avoda. So therefore, what the Chachamim's position is that, you know what? We're not, even though Mi'ikar Hadin, Akavya ben Mahalal is right. Any wool that sheds off of the animal naturally will become mutter after you shecht it, but we don't want it to become mutter. The Chachamim stopped it. They banned it from being mutter because they just don't want any incentive to have the animal linger. That's version number one. Version number two, Amalo Rabbi Yossi lo b'zehiter akavya ben mahalal. It's not in this case that akavya ben mahalal created heter, ela seir bal mum shenishar v'hinichu b'chalon v'achar kach meis. The case is talking about a case where the animal wasn't shechted, but the animal rather died on its own. But zeh akavya ben mahalal matir. It's only going to be in this case that akavya ben mahalal is going to be matir. V'chachamim osrim, and the chachamim say that under these circumstances it's going to be osir. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi's version, so it comes out that it's going to be the machlokus between the earlier Tanayim is a much more limited machlokus, meaning they're only debating a scenario in which the wool shed on its own and subsequently the animal died. But in other words, but if you shechted the animal, so then everyone would have been in agreement that it would be okay. Why? So presumably the difference between the shechting of the animal versus the animal dying is because with the shechting of the animal, that's something that we could do at any point in time. Meaning we could shecht it today, tomorrow, whenever. In terms of the death of the animal, that's something that we obviously have no control over. Tsemer hamiduldal bibechor. If I have wool that is just kind of like hanging off of our bechor, etcheneri megiza mutter ve'etcheino nira im hagiza aser. That which clearly is part of it is going to be mutter. That which is clearly not part of it is going to be aser. Meaning any wool that is clearly detached from the animal, even though it's kind of hanging on to the animal, but clearly detached, so that's going to be usher as per the position of the Chachamim, where the Chachamim said that any wool that comes off of the animal prior to the Shechita, or to the death of the animal, depending on which version you go with, is going to in fact be usher, and again, because it's going to incentivize us from hanging on to it too long. Okay, meaning that last part of the Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of the Chachamim. Okay, we'll do a little bit of Gemara for this morning. Mechlal da usher. Now, it sounds like when Rabbi Yossi comes in with his position, lo b'zeh hiter akavya ben mahalal, the language seems to be a little bit strange. Hashda ben mei shari shachtu mibaye, meaning if akavya ben mahalal allows for the shearings that fell, the shearings, for the wool that fell off on its own, if the animal dies, for sure akavya ben mahalal is going to allow it if you shechted the animal. Ela, lo b'zeh hiter akavya v'chachamim osrim, Ela Hachikamar. This must, all right, I'm just amending as per the Shita. This is what must be meant, which is Lo bezehiter akavim v'chachamim osrim. Shachto divrei hakol sharei ki pligi b'meis. Meaning when Rabbi Yossi is coming in and reintroducing the machlokas between the two, He's saying to Rabbi Yehuda, you got it all wrong. You think that that's where they're debating? They're not debating in that case, in the case where you shechted the animal. In the case where you shechted the animal, all wool is going to be permitted according to all positions. The only time there's going to be a debate is when the animal dies on its own. Okay. The Mace of Rav Sheshes. Bali Momem Osem Bekol Shehu. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yivaker. Now, the Rav Sheshes presents a brisa, and this brisa is going to be a really strange brisa. If you, let's say you have an animal that's a bamum, and it gets mixed in with a bunch of other animals, so it will aser the it will aser all those animals. Now, a bamum, a blemished animal, gets mixed in with other animals, right? Right. That's right. What is going on over here? In other words, if it's a blemished animal, so just go find out. Yes. Right. So, Bali Momem Osrim Bekoshu Rav Yossi Omer Yivaker. Okay. Vehavinamba. My Yivaker. Now what is that? What is that? What did Rav Yossi mean when he meant examination? Ilem de Bamum Hu Velishkale Mechal de Tanakama Amar Lo. So if what Rav Yossi says is do an investigation and find which one animal is blemished and take that animal out, and it sounds like the Tanakhama says, no, that's not going to work. Of course, well, why not? If the blemished animal got mixed up with the other animal, so just simply find the blemished animal, take it out, and it should work. Meaning, how could there possibly be a debate? What's going on over here? So the Gemara is going to give a couple of suggestions in terms of what is happening over here. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Ahach Begizus Bechor Bamu Maskinan. So the Gemara says as follows. What's happening over here is as follows. It's not that the animals got mixed up. That's not the case of the Brisa. The case of the Brisa is wool gets mixed up. Now I have regular shorn wool, which is totally permissible, and I got the naturally detached wool of our Bechor Balmum that gets mixed in with that. Now, Begizeh Bechor Balmum, Shinaskin, Shinasarvu, Begizeh Chulin. Fine. And what do we know about wool that falls off of a Bechor Balmum? So we know our Mishnah. Our Mishnah presents a machlokus between a Kavya ben Mahal and the Chachamim, and a subsequent machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the parameters of that machlokus. Uman Tanakama Rabbi Yehudihi, the Amar Nishchetu Asre Rabbanan. Perfect. And now, according to the Tanakama, who says that once you have this tire over this mixture, so it's all going to be Asr, that Tanakama is none other than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who is, we're going to assume, of course, Paskin like the Chachamim, who say that wool that falls off of a Bechor Balmum is going to be Aser, even with the subsequent shechting of the Bechor Balmum, it's still going to be Aser, and so therefore the Tarovis is going to be Aser. And Rabbi Yossi Latami Damar Nishchetu Shari Rabbanan, and according to Rabbi Yossi, so remember in our Mishnah, he says that no, if you shechted the Bechor Balmum, all the wool is going to be Mutter, even the wool that fell off beforehand. The only machlokis is going to be in a case where the animal died on its own. We're talking about where you shechted the Bechor Balmum, and therefore he says that the Tyrovis is going to be Mutter. The Gemara says, Viketani Yivukar. So the Gemara says, now what's our investigation? So the Gemara says, Ma Yivukar, Lavi Mum Kavu Imum Overhu, Afagav Shalitiro Mumcha. So, isn't the word yuvukar meaning an investigation of, as to what kind of mum it was? Amaravalo yuvukar ihitira mumcha o in v'ilo lo. Now, the word yuvukar over here just simply means, get me the correct history. Meaning, when we had the Bechor Balmum, was it already established that it was a Balmum? Did a mumcha, professional, go over and already assess as to whether or not the blemish was a good blemish? If in fact it was so, so therefore, any wool that falls off the animal is going to be mutter, according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but according to Rabbi Yossi, it's going to be mutter. Okay, so that is all but one explanation of the Braisa. And so what do we have right now? So let's just quickly recap our second half of our daf. In the second half of the daf, we discussed hair that falls off of a Bechor Balmum. Me'ikar hadin, we all know that it would be mutter. Meaning eventually what you're allowed to do with the Bechor Balmum is you're allowed to shecht it. The wool that comes off of it, you're not allowed to shear it now, but the wool that comes off of it naturally would be mutter. The concern is that if we mutter it, would that incentivize the person to keep his Bechor around longer and giving more chances for people to violate the Isser of Giza and or avoda. So, in the Mishnah, we have a machlokus between a kaviyah ben mahal and the chachamim, and within that, you have a machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the parameters of that machlokus. To try to say it as clearly as possible, Rabbi Yossi gives the more lenient approach, which is that the only time that the chachamim would prohibit that wool that falls off is only when the animal dies naturally. If you shecht the animal, so then the animal would be mutter, and the wool, even the wool that fell off before, is going to be mutter as well. So Rabbi Yossi is the makel in this regard. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Whether you shecht the animal, whether the animal dies on its own, any wool that falls off beforehand is going to be aser. Again, it's an iser derabanan, because the chachamim did not want us to have the animal linger around. It's an iser derabanan, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, any wool that falls off beforehand is going to be aser, whether you shecht it or whether it dies on its own. And right now, using that machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we have now offered one pshat in the Braisa. When the Braisa talks about a balmum getting mixed in with other animals, and in the Braisa we said that if the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, whether or not it's mutter or it's usher, and we didn't understand what are they arguing about. The Bechor balmum, just find the blemished animal and get it out of there. So what's the issue? So what the Gemara now is proposing is that it's not the animals that get mixed together, it's the wolves that get mixed together. And the machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda is exactly the machlokas of our Mishnah. That is one pshat. Tomorrow we're going to move on to another pshat.